Chapter 5. Oh, the pity of it! Such a dashing soldier, so popular, such an acquisition to the town, the soul of social life here. And now, one should not speak ill of the dead, but that dreadful Mr. Sainway, it was too cruel of him. This is a summary of what was said when Captain, now the Reverend, John Mombry was enabled by circumstances to indulge his heart's desire of returning to the scene of his former exploits in the capacity of a minister of the gospel. A low-lying district of the town, which at that date was crowded with impoverished cottagers, was crying for a curate, and Mr. Mombry generously offered himself as one willing to undertake labors that were certain to produce little result, and no thanks, credit, or emolument. Let the truth be told about him as a clergyman. He proved to be anything but a brilliant success. Painstaking, single-minded, deeply in earnest as all could see, his delivery was labored, his sermons were dull to listen to, and alas too long. Even the dispassionate judges who sat by the hour in the bar parlor of the White Hart and in standing at the dividing line between the poor quarter aforesaid and the fashionable quarter of Mombry's former triumphs, and hence affording a position of strict impartiality, agreed in substance with the young ladies to the westward, though their views were somewhat more tersely expressed. Surely, God Almighty spoiled a good soldier to make a bad passon, when he shifted Captain Mombry into a surplice. The latter knew that such things were said, but he pursued his daily labors in and out of the hovels with serene unconcern. It was about this time that the invalid in the oriel became more than a mere bowing acquaintance of Mrs. Mombry's. As he had returned to the town with her husband, and was living with him in a little house in the center of his circle of ministration, when by some means she became one of the invalid's visitors. After a general conversation, while sitting in his room with a friend of both, an incident led up to the matter that still rankled deeply in her soul. Her face was now paler and thinner than it had been, even more attractive, her disappointments having inscribed themselves as meek thoughtfulness on the look that was once a little frivolous. The two ladies had called to be allowed to use the window for observing the departure of the hussars, who were leaving for barracks much nearer to London. The troopers turned the corner of Barrack Road into the top of High Street, headed by their band playing The Girl I Left Behind Me, which was formerly always the tune for such times, though it is now nearly disused. They came and passed the oriel, where an officer or two, looking up and discovering Mrs. Mombry, saluted her, whose eyes filled with tears as the notes of the band waned away. Before the little group had recovered from that sense of the romantic which such spectacles impart, Mr. Mombry came along the pavement. He probably had bidden his former brethren in arms a farewell at the top of the street, for he walked from that direction in his rather shabby clerical clothes, and with a basket on his arm which seemed to hold some purchases he had been making for his poorer parishioners. Unlike the soldiers, he went along quite unconscious of his appearance, or of the scene around. The contrast was too much for Laura. With lips that now quivered, she asked the invalid what he thought of the change that had come to her. It was difficult to answer, and with a willfulness that was too strong in her, she repeated the question. "Do you think," she added, "that a woman's husband has a right to do such a thing, even if he does feel a certain call to it?" Her listener sympathized too largely with both of them to be anything but unsatisfactory in his reply. Laura gazed longingly out of the window towards the thin moldy line of hussars, now smalling towards the Millstock Ridge. She said, "who should have been in their van on the way to London, am doomed to fester in a hole in Durnover Lane." Many events had passed, and many rumors had been current concerning her before the invalid saw her again after her leave-taking that day. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.